As if we needed any more proof that Michelle Bachmann is bat crap crazy. There is a movie that she starred in, a documentary that she was in called, what is it? The Guinea Pig Children, Part 2. And it's just a complete attack on our public school system in public education, basically saying that they're indoctrinating our children with socialism and communism. And it just looks absolutely ridiculous. But there's a link to that story up on our Facebook page and our Twitter page as well. But as if we needed any more proof, you know, that Newsweek cover that she was on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what she looks like about 80% of the time. I don't even understand the controversy of that Newsweek cover. She posed for the picture as long as it wasn't photoshopped or anything.
Oh yeah, you know? I remember that there was a big all the right wingers were pissed because there was a cover of Sarah like a Time cover with Sarah Palin and she was posing all sexy in like her tracksuit or something.
Oh yeah,
like,
yep.
You know, this is sexism. Hey, she posed for it.
Exactly. That's how I feel too. And they're like, oh, this is but they're fine when they do it with Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi when they make them look. You know, they put pictures on the front of magazines or post them on websites, making them look insane. It's perfectly okay. I really don't think it's a big deal. I think Michelle Bachmann is just plain crazy. And that's probably her with her game face.
You apparently don't find her attractive at all.
I don't. Like some of the older pictures, I mean, she's okay. But people are like, she's undeniably a beautiful woman. I just don't see that. Sarah Palin, I do find to be quite attractive. Yeah. No, Michelle Bachmann looks like that, and I'm big into eyes. I like to, you know, important. Women's eyes are a big thing to me. It's the window to the soul, and I look into Michelle Bachmann's eyes, I see nothing but crazy.
Window to the soul.
A rabbit cooking on your stove is what you're going to get from Michelle Bachmann if you date her and then dump her.
I think Michelle's a little past her prime. I think Sarah aged a little better, and maybe Sarah was always...
I think Sarah definitely... age better.
Yeah.
So speaking of sexuality, I think I know what I'm going to be doing this weekend. I don't know what I did with my notes here. I lost them. But Slut Walk Milwaukee comes to Milwaukee tomorrow. I believe it's noon to 3. Don't know the exact location. I believe Journal Sentinel Online, jsonline.com has the story. But Slut Walk Milwaukee. It's kind of hard to say. Slut Walk Milwaukee. Basically what the deal is, it's a bunch of people trying to draw attention to the fact that too often the victims of sexual violence are the ones that are blamed for dressing too sexy. They're basically inviting rape.
Yeah. So, Bill O'Reilly is a big fan of that.
Oh, yeah, sure he is. So basically... These walks have happened around the world in cities all over America. And what it does, a bunch of people will kind of dress up, not all of them, but a lot of the women will dress up provocatively. And they go on this walk, and it's all to raise awareness about it. Doesn't matter how you dress, no woman is inviting herself to be raped or molested. So it's a great walk, but not only are you supporting a great cause when you go to this Slut Walk Milwaukee, you get to see some women dressed up provocatively. So I think tomorrow, if Nicole allows me to, I am going to go to Milwaukee from noon to 3 and go watch the Slut Walk.
I'll take her with you. Isn't she going to participate?
No, I'm saying she would most likely come with me, yes. I'll be standing there on the curb with the leash around my neck watching the women walk by. And now we keep doing this evolution from sexuality to the Slut Walk to what New York City is now doing. For nearly two decades, New York City public schools did not have mandatory sex education classes. They're now returning to that. The New York Times reports that middle and high school students will be required to take sex education classes beginning this year. The curriculum includes lessons on how to use a condom and the appropriate age for sexual activity. The new mandate calls for students to take one semester of sex education in 6th or 7th grade and again in 9th or 10th grade. Children as young as 11 will participate in discussions on topics like pregnancy and the risks of unprotected sex. Parents will be able to have their children opt out of the lessons on birth control methods, and the classes can be incorporated into existing health education courses. So, obviously, I've talked about this sort of thing before. Sex education in our public schools is absolutely necessary. In this day and age of deadly diseases like AIDS... And when you see, you know, the rates of teenage pregnancy and stuff like that. The worst thing we can do is ignore the fact that kids are going to have sex. It is, they're going to, because of their curiosity, because of their instinct, they're going to experiment. And if they're going to experiment, and we know they're going to, then we should have classes that tell them, this is how it works. This is how, and with everyone's access to the internet today as well, to let them know this is not, you know, if you've seen, I'm not, maybe that's a little bit too much to get into talking about pornography, but to teach them what normal, quote unquote, normal sexual relations are and what is the best way for you to protect yourself. And there are already people that are up in arms about this happening in New York City, that you can't mandate sex education in our public schools. You're indoctrinating our children. You're encouraging them to have sex, you know, teenage sex. I completely disagree with that. I think this is necessary. And for one of many reasons, one of my reasons is that I was never talked. My parents never talked to me about sex.
Yeah.
Ever. There may have been a few little instances where something came up and I was kind of given the, oh, yeah, this is how it works. And then we moved on. I never had the birds and the bees conversation with my parents. And I think part of that was because they knew in junior high I had a health class where we, you know, for a couple of weeks, we spent time on sex education. So I guess my question this morning, because Jack, you said that your parents did sit down and have the birds and the bees conversation.
I don't think so. I think they were pretty frank. I remember being five or something and asking how babies were made, and my dad gave a blunt, about 3-second response that was very accurate.
There's a man, there's a woman, they get together, and just,
I mean, no euphemisms at all. It kind of, I was taken aback, but but yeah, I think there was sort of an assumption that anything I didn't know would be taught in school, or you know,
I think that's true, and I think a lot of parents are like that. And I think my question for you is simply: did your parents ever sit you down and give you a sex education lesson? Did they ever sit down and talk to you about the birds and the bees? It didn't happen to me. It briefly happened with Jack. And I do have friends that said, yeah, my parents both sat me down at the kitchen table, and it was like a 2-hour long awkward situation where they kind of told me about contraception and safe sex, and, you know, how important it is to, you know, for some conservative families, how important it is to wait until you're married to have sex. I never, ever had that conversation. And I remember asking when I was a kid, probably 6 or 7 years old, where do babies come from? And I think my mom just, you know, real briefly, it's like, well, you know, baby is born, you know, grows in the stomach. And it was never like, I had to learn some of that stuff for myself and from finding my dad's magazines every once in a while. So 321-1670, *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. We're going to take a quick break, but I just want to know, did you ever, this is why I think sex education in public schools is so important, because so many parents find it too awkward or too uncomfortable to actually sit down and talk to their kids about sex. I know my parents didn't. So that sex education when I was in 7th, 8th grade was a smart thing. We'll take your calls next. This is Forward. I'm Kurt Barron on 1670 WTDY.
Madison 1670 WTDY. This is Forward with Kurt Barron.
You know, we're talking about sex education this morning. New York City is, after, for the first time in nearly 2 decades, making sex education classes mandatory. And I was talking about, yeah, you know, some kids, their sex education is simply finding their dad's magazines. Well, I have a little bit of a story on that. I hope my dad or my mom, I hope they're not listening. Actually, I hope my mom is. I'm not taking your phone call, Mom, if you are listening. But I remember when I had to have been maybe 15, 16 years old, and I had a stack of maybe 3 or 4 magazines underneath my bed that just mysteriously disappeared one day. I got home from school, and they were gone. And my mom, who I'm pretty sure it was my mom that found them, my mom, my dad, neither one of them said a word at supper that night or ever. But that was probably the most uncomfortable supper I have ever had around the family dinner table, because they knew that I knew, but it wasn't talked about. These magazines just disappeared, and it was really so awkward. That you kind of have a funny similar story. it's not in your case, but was it your dad, right? Didn't your dad
Yeah. I mean, he said that he came back from summer camp as a teenager and that his Playboys that had been strewn under the bed had been neatly stacked on his bookcase. So it was just incredible. I can't imagine my late grandmother, how she
just, well, you know, keep your porn organized here. Yeah. I guess it would have been worse if my mom would have written a letter like shame, shame, son, and like put it, you know, in the middle of the magazine. You're flipping through and like, oh my God. Scar me for life. But what I'm asking you is if, you know, I think that sex education in public schools is a great thing. I had it in 7th and 8th grade. I think it was informative. It really, there were a lot of kids that had questions that really were seriously, honest to God, good questions that, you know, you think about, you're too scared to ask your parents or your grandparents or an adult about. But when you're in a classroom setting, these questions get answered and you feel a little bit more knowledgeable about what sex is all about. So I think that sex education in public schools is a great thing. But I'm really asking you this morning, if your parents ever sat down and had the birds and the bees conversation with you. Because my parents didn't. Jack's parents really didn't. And I think the part of that is that they knew, okay, they're going to learn the ins and the outs, pardon the pun, of of sex in the classroom in a very, you know, kind of a sterilized setting because that's got to be awkward for parents to sit down and talk to their child about sex. It's not so awkward for a health instructor or a health teacher to sit down and go, okay, here's the deal. Here's some pictures. Here's how contraception works. Yeah. It's a good thing. And I've never asked this question on the radio before. And how many people out there actually got the birds and the bees conversation? Because I didn't, and I don't know why. I don't know. I just didn't. And I think part of the reason is because I did have sex ed in school. Let's go to the phones. 321-1670 *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. Rick, you're on 1670 WTDY.
Hey, didn't you grow up in a rural setting and basically a farm?
No, I grew up in a rural setting. I grew up outside of Portage, not on a farm, was on the outskirts of Portage, yeah.
Yeah, the farm kids learn that real early from all the other mammals that they take care of.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
So they generally know how it all works, but I got the after school specials. You know, they would say, here, watch this at 3:30. And one of the networks would always, in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, would have these stupid after school specials on about how a girl got pregnant or how this and how that. And everybody else in the show would tell them, you know, how they could prevent it. And it was just god awful. But as far as parents, I mean, why the hell are we so squeamish when it comes to the naughty, tingly part?
I don't know. I've never understood
biology,
that.
For God's sakes. My kids, if they ask me anything, I tell them, you know, and
well,
I'll be blunt with them about it without using, you know, the naughty words or anything. But, you know, I mean, it's like, come on, we need to be open about this. Kids need to be informed. You know, there's too much stuff going on out there. There's too much pregnancy from young people. So, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with teaching them this in school.
No,
if they don't learn it in school. It's like drug prevention. Are they, you know, can you depend on some parents to keep, you know, to tell the kids that methamphetamines are probably not the best thing for them, even though it's a lucrative business, you know, or any other drugs out there? Probably not. So, I mean, you have to do it somewhere. Why not the school?
Rick, I think that you're a good parent, and I think that you're a younger, relatively younger parent. And I think that there is a huge divide between my generation, Jack's generation below me, and the generation that's ahead of me, you know, Generation X, I guess. I think I'm Generation Y, whatever those numbers even mean.
You're Generation X. I'm Generation Y.
The very tail end of Generation X. And you're probably the very tail end of Generation Y. So regardless, I think that one of the big things is that, you know, my parents, who are now 70 years old, they came from a generation that was a lot more conservative in social ways like that. When it came to sex, it was a little bit, you know, it was taboo to talk about it. And things are a little bit more liberated these days when it comes to the human body and to sexual relations, and partially because we have to be. I mean, AIDS is a deadly disease that, as little as it gets talked about these days, is still out there and very prevalent. We have to talk about sex ed. We have to talk about condoms and safe sex. Because you know what? Our kids could get a deadly disease and die. I mean, so I think there's a little bit of a generational gap between how I was raised, because my parents were older and a little bit more conservative when it came to stuff like talking about sex, and parents of today that are a little bit more liberated. They feel a little bit, they probably feel it's a little bit easier to go, hey, this is how it works. It's not a big deal. Actually, once you turn about 13, 14, it'll become the biggest deal in the world. But the actual creation of a baby, here's how it works. Here is the mechanics of how this goes down, and here's how to prevent yourself from getting a disease. 321-1670, *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. Let's go to Julie. You're on 1670 WTDY.
Hello.
Hello.
I never had the talk.
Okay.
I just had, if we ever had a question, we got an answer. No matter how young we were, no matter how awkward it was. And my mother's, now that I'm raising my own child, my mother says, you'll know when you reach the point of too much information just by looking at them.
Yeah.
And it's true.
That's true. I guess I was always a bit, I don't know why, but I was always a little bit embarrassed to ever ask any questions. Like I had a bunch of questions, but I was always kind of like, I don't want to ask my mom or dad that question.
Well, there were a lot of things that I, to this day, won't talk about with my dad. But my mom was very open about, seriously, if you have a question, even if I don't have the answer, I will get the answer for you.
Yeah, I mean, I could have been like, Dad, I borrowed one of those magazines that you have. I have a question about this. What is? But, well, son, no, we don't talk about that. But give that here. No.
Yeah, but then I found myself in a position in high school where I was correcting a lot of misinformation among my classmates and my friends. And it was just appalling. It was like, well, now I understand why so many things happen the way they do, because what these kids believed worked as contraception was just appalling.
I remember some of the questions that I had in seventh grade. We were talking about contraception, and I had questions about, well, why? I don't even know if I can quite get into the...
Well, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to censor it for the radio.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about how to say that, too. But, okay, why do you have to wear a condom? Why can't you just... do it in this way,
pull out.
Can I say that? And the guy kind of laughed, but he said, "Well, that's a good question," and he explained why that is not the preferred method for birth control.
Yeah, I mean, some of the kids I went to school with had never heard the phrase failure rate or bloodborne pathogen
until
they were seniors in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they were real active at the point that I started pointing these things out to them.
Kind of scary. And, you know, kids, when you get down into the fifth and thanks for the phone call, Julie. When you get to the fifth and the sixth grade, you know, there are kids that still believe that, like, you know, you can kiss a girl and get pregnant. I mean, there is that kind of misinformation that's out there that runs rampant among kids. And it's just misinformation, and you need to squash that.
No, yeah, I've said this before. My aunt was a sex ed teacher in Ohio for fifth and sixth graders, and she had kids who thought you could only get pregnant if you were in love.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Oh, if that was only the case.
I know.
That was only the case.
Much better world.
All right, it is Friday. Have a great weekend. We'll continue to Twitter and post stuff on Facebook all weekend long. Join us. Facebook.com/forward with Kurt Barron. That's KURTBARON. Also join us on Twitter, very simply @forward with Kurt. I will see you at the Slut Walk in Milwaukee tomorrow. It's all for a good cause. Remember that. Have a great weekend. I'm Kurt Barron, and this is Forward on 1670 WTDY.